Muriel McConkie, who owns the corner shop, and her sister Vera, the telephonist, have rented their spare room to the local police constable Bernie Gallagher, to mutual dissatisfaction. Guard Gallagher's singing practice kept the ladies awake every night, and the McConkie's dog savaged their lodger, necessitating his removal to the county infirmary. This incident pales to insignificance, however, beside the impending demonstration against the closing of the railway and the long-expected visit from Maybelle McFinney of the McFinney Foundation in West Virginia, who may purchase the ancestral homestead of President Hoover. But the historical authenticity of this cottage and its rightful ownership have not yet been truly established. Ballylennon, 1956.
Butter's nearly as expensive as margarine now, Vera. Would you credit that?
Mm-hmm. I suppose it's more costly to graze a cow than to dig up those ground nuts they're all talking about in Africa. I must say, I don't like the thought of spreading something on my bread that came out of a place like that. Mm. Is there no marmalade? Oh, there's the switch.
I see if there's any left on the shelf.
Hello, Ballylennon call office.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
Who's speaking, please?
This is Keveen Bonner. I'm down at the railway station, but I'm speaking on behalf of the Vindicator.
If you're looking for my sister about the Development Association, she's out working in the shop, Mr. Bonner.
No, I'm looking for any one of you, whichever. Is there any news of Yard Gallagher?
None that I heard.
Well, I'm out there phoning the hospital in Letterkenny, and they told me he was stable.
Isn't that the news, then?
Yeah, but that's no kind of story, Miss McConkie. Is he dying or what?
Why would he be dying?
Well, he could have a touch of hydrophobia.
What's that?
It's what you get if you're bit by a mad dog.
Not pretend he's not a mad dog.
Is that a fact? He might be rabid, but with the rabies. Rabies is a very dangerous condition.
Not pretend he never had the rabies. He once took distemper, but that's a different thing. More like the flu. And he only gave Guard Gallagher a few wee nips round the ankles and one or two other places. I don't know why he made such a fuss.
I hear there was blood everywhere.
Indeed, there was not. Where did you get hold of that?
Eugene McCrudden, the ambulance driver, said your back hall was like an abattoir.
Mr. Bonner, I hope you aren't going to print exaggerations like that. Because if you are, I'll give a ring to your editor. And I well know he was none too pleased with the way you forgot to hand in the statement from the directors of the railway company.
That was only an oversight, Miss McConkie.
Indeed, it may have been. All I'm saying is you'd be better off checking your facts. Why don't you go into the hospital and visit Guard Gallagher yourself and buy him a big bunch of flowers while you're at it?
That's going to be the flower bed, Mr. Doherty. I've most of it dug, as you can see. And Josie's after helping me put in the 3 dozen fuchsias I got for half price in Donegal.
In 2 years' time, the colour will be so blinding they'll dazzle the face off you.
It's what they look like next week, I'm thinking about. All I can see is wee stitch.
I will tell the Yanks what it's going to be like. They'll appreciate the way we've it all worked out.
Hey, what happened to the patch? Where's Pat McMahon?
Oh, he's up the ladder on the other side of the roof. He says he intended to tie down what we'd done, but he forgot to bring the ropes with him. Then there was a big storm on Thursday night, and the wind got in under the thatch and lifted it off.
He seems to have done a fairly good repair on it.
That's only because I kept goading him on.
Well, keep up your goading. Because Mrs. McFinney and a colleague from the foundation, the fellow with the peculiar name, what is it at all?
Isn't it Bohunkus?
Ah, that's it. I wonder, is he a black?
Ah, get away.
Well, they'll be making that tour of inspection next Saturday. And if it's still looking like this, we are banjaxed. And Josie, you'll be looking after them in the hotel. Now be sure to give them everything they want, even if we have to spend a few more shillings on it.
I'll give them a menu to make them feel at home. Burgers and hot dogs.
Aye, and what are those other things? Corn pones, is it?
Oh, if I could get the corn pones and the clam bakes, I'd open up a specialist restaurant. But I could manage the hominy grits.
And what are they, for God's sake?
Horrid, Dada. And the deep apple pie, the way Mama used to make it.
Oh, look. There's Pat McManaman looking over the roof now.
Hiya, Pat. How's it going?
It's going right there.
You nearly lost just the roof.
The scallops were bad.
What's he on about?
He's blaming me for cutting bad scallops for him. I cut him the best hazel scallops in the place.
Well, I'll scallop him on the backside if he doesn't get on with it. Well, I suppose I'll have to report progress here to the next meeting of the Development Association. I hope Mr. and Mrs. Hawthorne keep their bake shop this time. But I think Father O'Flaherty gave him a notion that does no good to push your case too far.
You could scallop him in the backside with a Hawthorne scallop.
I guess so.
There are apologies from Father O'Flaherty and Reverend Hawthorne, Chairman. Father O'Flaherty is refereeing the junior football, and Reverend Hawthorne...
My husband's on his way to Dunfanaghy. He's going to be Master of Ceremonies at the annual Beetle Drive.
I never got a notice of that.
Oh, I think the Dunfanaghy news is covered by another report.
I know it is, but he's on a retreat. I'll be taking this up with the editor, so I will.
Yes, Mr. Bonner, and now we'll pass on.
There's a hidden agenda there, so there is.
Mr. Chairman, may I propose a vote of sympathy to Guard Gallagher? And perhaps the Secretary could write to him to wish him a speedy recovery.
You'll do that, Miss McConkey?
Oh, yes. If it's the wish of the committee.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Chairman. I hope his injuries won't affect his voice. Because we were preparing a selection of songs from the Deep South when he became incapacitated.
Mr. Chairman, Guard Gallagher's injuries.
Look, that's all right, Miss McConkey. We let it rest. An unfortunate accident. That's all it was. Well, Mrs. Hawthorne, your motion brings us to the first item on our agenda, the fortune. The reception for our friends from West Virginia. We want to impress them, and it'll cost a bit of money, but it goes without saying, I give my function room free.
Oh, yes. That's splendid.
In fact, I'm thinking of renaming it the Hoover Hall in honor of the historical connection. Miss McConkie, was there any response to the circular you sent out looking for subscription?
There's one, Mr. Chairman. From Mr. Aubrey Frawley of Killiecrumper. He's enclosed a cheque for £5.
£5?
And there's a letter. Dear Honorary Secretary, it gives me great pleasure to enclose a small donation to the Association's funds. May I take the opportunity of informing you that I shall be leaving Ballylennon to divide my time between my properties at Haywards Heath and Johannesburg.
I didn't know who was there.
But I shall be retaining the mansion and endowing it as a rest home for writers and artists. I also hope to visit from time to time.
That would be a real loss, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Frawley has been extremely generous to community endeavours of all kinds.
And he gave good employment too, right enough.
Will this mean people out of a job, do you think?
He may be leaving the household staff to look after the artists and writers.
I think it's a good riddance.
All right. All right.
He was an undesirable influence, so he was, reviving the concept of colonialism when we thought it was well dead, and up to all kinds of shenanigans that can only be hinted at.
Mr. Bonner, you're entitled to your opinion. But the man's after sending us £5.
And what kind of people is going to be living there now? Beatniks, I think they call them, with long hair and rings and beads up their nostrils, lounging around the town and getting in the way.
Well, of course, there'd be another side to that. Wouldn't there, Miss McConkie? These people would be spending money in our shops.
Yes. Oh, yes, Mr. Duffy.
And a rise in the population, however small, would be another reason for keeping the railway open, Mr. Bonner.
Would it? I withdraw that remark, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bonner. And staying with you, is this association to be involved in the demonstration against a railway company?
No, not as such. But whoever can turn up on Friday will be doing their duty to the town.
To swell the crowd, my fifth class have painted placards, which I distribute.
When the 2 p.m. from Derry arrives, the manager and the chairman of the railway board will be getting off and going into the station master's office to meet a deputation headed by our public representative, Mr. Terence White, and members of the county council. But what they'll not be expecting is a big crowd out in the station yard shouting slogans at them, so that when they take the 6:15 back to Derry, they'll have that ringing in their ears, so they will.
We wouldn't want to insult them, but that might turn them against us.
That'll be no insults, only plain facts.
Aye, here's Josie with the cup of tea.
Oh, evening, Josie.
Have we any other business now?
Just to inquire about our visitors from West Virginia. As I mentioned, Guard Gallagher and I will, provide the musical entertainment downstairs on Friday evening. When will they be going to see the cottage at Drumskittrick?
On the Saturday, I suppose, if the weather holds up. But there's no need for you to trouble about that, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Mrs. McFinney and Mr. Smith. He's a... where have it? Oh, yes, Mr. Smith, a trustee of the McFinney Foundation. They're touring Killarney and Blarney at present.
And Josie here is going to give them special attention Well, they're with us in the hotel, aren't you, Josie?
Sure, they'll think they're in the Waldorf Astoria.
Good. Well, now, that's the official business concluded now. Thank you very much, ladies and gents.
Tea, Mr. Bonner.
Aye, thanks, Josie.
May I have a word with you, Mr. Doherty?
Certainly, Mrs. Hawthorne. Would you like to step out into the lobby?
Yes.
And take it back to my husband for a second. Father O'Flatley told him that the main business of meetings was usually conducted in the corridor.
What can I do for you, Mrs. Hawthorne?
You know my husband and Father O'Flatley both have identical copies of the deeds for what we all seem to be calling the Hoover McFinney Homestead. Somewhat erroneously, I think.
I think I heard something to that effect.
The ownership seems to have been debatable. What my husband didn't know was that Father O'Flatley had actually sold the property.
He did indeed. The sale was effected through my agency to an undisclosed purchaser.
Can you tell me who that was?
I can't, Mrs. Hawthorne. People don't have to make their name public. Is that all you wanted to know?
So this undisclosed purchaser is about to sell the property again to the McFinney Foundation?
That's what we're all hoping, Mrs. Hawthorne. As I've always been saying, what this town needs is a really important tourist destination. And wouldn't anything by the name of Hoover just suck them in?
Hello? Hello? Do you want something?
Good morning, sir. Nobody in charge of reception?
I'll get Josie. I think she's out the back throwing the garbage on the dunkel. Josie?
What?
There's a chap here at the desk.
Chairman coming.
She'll be with you in a minute. Can I get you anything?
Well, no, sir. But perhaps you could tell me how I can find the old mansion.
Oh, the only mansion around here is Killy Cromper. Big Georgian house with stone pillars. Are you driving?
Yeah, just came from Dublin. Did nobody ever tell folks around here how to build a road?
The road's as bad right enough, but that's because they've been here a long time. Now, if you go back the way you came, and half a mile there's a sharp turn to the left.
Left?
Well, don't take that. About 100 yards further on, you'll see a big gate with a lodge on the right.
Right.
That's it. Beep the horn, and Miss McGill, the gardener's wife, will come out and open the gate for you.
Well, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate your help.
Bye. Mind yourself now.
What's that?
I said mind yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, when the train arrives and the two officials get off, be sure to give them a good loud boo.
We Stumpy Bonner didn't get much of a turnout for his demonstration, Muriel. It makes you wonder, are the people really interested in keeping the line open?
Well, I hate going on the train, Fonsy. All that noise and smoke. I much prefer the bus. Oh, look, I see a few more arriving by the back lane.
Ah, shit, that's only the ship leaving the fish meal factory.
Yeah, but they'll stay on out of curiosity.
I was expecting more people, Mr. Gallagher. Just as well for you, though, with your leg the way it is.
It's not too bad, Mrs. Hawthorne. I had the stitches out yesterday. It's all right, except when I try to sit down.
Oh, I thought the dog only bit you on your ankles.
My calves, too. And he gave me a nasty wee nip higher up.
How very unpleasant. What did you do?
I climbed under the kitchen table until the ambulance man arrived from Glenfinnan.
What were the two Miss McConkeys doing while all this was going on?
Well, they were up in bed, and I suppose I had to put on them before they came down. And then Vera's hand came around the kitchen door and threw me an old raincoat.
Oh, a raincoat?
You see, I wasn't fully dressed myself.
Dreadful. Are you sure you feel well enough to sing for the Americans tonight?
Yeah, I've been practising all the time I was on the sick. Hey, here's the train coming now.
There aren't many passengers on the train, Bunsen.
There never is. Everyone's got a car these days.
Well, I think it's very good of us to come down here to show our support to the employees. We don't see Father O'Flatley or Reverend Hawthorne.
It wouldn't be appropriate for them to be seen, Daniel. They'll make their opinions known through other channels.
Mm. Hold on a minute. Here they are coming now. Give a good loud boo. Boo!
Mr. Bonner should have got the brass and reed band if he really wanted to make an impression. Oh, you see those two men? If they're the company directors, I must say, they don't look very important. Sidling along the platform as if they were late for school.
Well, they aren't very important, Miriam, and that's the truth.
The woman with all the furs. Now, she'd hardly be one of the director's wives.
Well, he might have brought his missus with him to prevent the other side using bad language. That'd be a good trick, no?
No, I don't think she's the same. And those furs were hardly bought in Derry.
Let's go home!
Is that well-dressed woman the wife of one of the railway officials, do you think, Mr. Gallagher?
Yeah, she is. She isn't too happy with what's going on.
That woman couldn't have anything to do with the railway fancy. She looks lost. Perhaps she got out of the wrong station. Imagine arriving in a place and finding yourself in the middle of a thing like this.
Miriam.
What is it?
For God's sake, terrible. Do you know who I think she is?
You don't think it's Mrs. McKinney?
The American one. That's who she is.
Oh. And Mr. Bonner not stopping to lift her luggage.
Ladies and gentlemen, show us how you feel.
I drive her up to the hotel, only there's two dead rabbits for the dinner on the back seat of the car.
Oh, well, I can't really go over to talk to her. I'm not wearing my good coat.
No, this is not what I wanted at all. But I'll have to ask a favor of Mrs. Hawthorne.
Oh.
At least her wee car will be clean. Well, excuse me,
yes,
Muriel, will you?
Yes, of course.
Please see us out there.
I'll take an Irish whiskey on the rocks. You're positive, don't Mr. Smith checked in? He came on ahead of me in the limousine.
Well, it's a quiet time of year here. I'd have noticed if anyone had checked in. Oh, here's my father now. He's looking forward to a little chat with you. I'll get you your Bushmills.
Thank you, honey.
Ah, Mrs. McKinney, you're very welcome to the Swilly Arms. I'm Alphonse Darty, chairman of Ballylennon Development Association.
Enchanted, Mr. Doherty.
I take it Mrs. Hawthorne was able to fit all your suitcases into a wee car.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers, sir.
My apologies for what happened at the station. If we'd have known you'd be on that train, we'd have had a hackney waiting and we'd have postponed the demonstration until you'd been driven off.
I thought they were shouting at me, telling me to go home, calling me a capitalist.
Ah, sure. There's no harm in it. We all know the railway's going to close anyway, but we aren't going to let it happen without a fight.
Now that's talking. That Mrs. Hawthorne, she was telling me her maiden name was Bowl. Do you know, back home in Sulphur Springs, we have Hawthorns and Bowles, not to mention all the McFinneys.
You tell me.
Ulster Presbyterians, my husband calls them. I guess y'all must be Ulster Presbyterians in these parts.
Well, the way it is, some are and some aren't. Yes. Was Josie, she's my daughter. She has a diploma in domestic economy from the Letterkenny Tech. Well, she tell you, we've a big plan to develop this hotel. I'm only mentioning it in case you don't find everything to your satisfaction.
Oh, I find it quaint, Mr. Doherty. That pattern of heliotropes and jonquils in my room is a collector's item.
Ah, yes, Josie. Come on now, if it ever was your order. Will you take a wee snack as well?
No, thank you, sir. I never eat between meals.
Here you are, Mrs.
Thank you, honey. Here's mud in your eye.
Yes. Oh, you'll be getting a first-class five-course dinner before tonight's reception. What's something your committee, foundation, supposed to be traveling with?
And my nephew, Bo Hunkins, he's a financial wizard.
A good man to make the acquaintance.
Hi, Maybelle, honey.
And here is Bo Hunkins. You can make his acquaintance right now. Bo Hunkins, honey, where have you been?
I've been having a good time.
You bet. Where'd you get to?
I went to look for the old mansion, and I guess I went to the wrong one, but my, what a mansion.
This here is my nephew. Huh? Bohunkus L. Smith.
Alphonse Doherty, pleased to meet you, Mr. Howdy. Smith.
Well, Here we all are at last. Cheers.
That's the fella I sent up to Kelly Cromper.
Oh, a real poncy looking git.
Would you believe the white suit on him?
I took him for one of those beatniks Mr. Frawley's encouraging to stay up there.
And the get up of her? Is it a snake or crocodile?
Oh, she's a fine looking woman all the same.
Do you know?
What he must have been looking for. The cottage at Drumskittrick. But I'm sure he asked for the old mansion.
He'd be likely thinking anything to do with President Hoover being mansion.
Right. Taxi!
What does your old fellow want me for now?
To introduce you to our future benefactor, I suppose. Pile on the charm, Packy.
It won't be hard with her.
Don't trouble with your bags, Mr. Smith. I'll get the boots. Thanks. Carry them up for you. Packy!
Smith's looking at us carefully.
What's that? Oh, yes, Mr. Doherty. Won't take a minute, sir. Who are you calling Boots?
You watch your step for your own good.
You wouldn't know there was anything wrong with God, Gallagher, Vera. Like you've got to give it to him, he sings like a thrush. Such a fuss about nothing. Poor enough, her Tandy was more frightened than he was. But do you think he'll sue? He'd be too embarrassed to show us begs in court. All the same, I'd like to get a look at them to see the extent of the damage.
You'd hardly ask him to lift the leg of his uniform.
I shouldn't be drinking sherry. If he's been discharged from the hospital, where did he stay last night? And he'll have to come round to us to collect his suitcases. What do we say to him? Should we approach him when he finishes his song?
Oh, no. It might cause an incident. Quiet men like Gerard Gallagher can become violent when they're upset.
Song was specially chosen for our guest from the USA, and in spite of only being back to work today, after a short stop in the hospital, Yard Dalla was determined not to let us down. Well on you, Yard. I am thanks to Mrs. Hawthorne, too, for her usual expertise on the piano. You'll give us another later on, Yard.
Well, if you can stand it.
Good man.
Oh, yes, we've rehearsed six songs from rural America.
And while you're enjoying another drink, I have here standing beside me wee Vinnie Horisky, and he's going to give us, what is it, three hornpipes?
Yes, sir.
Good gossip. On the tin whistle. Very good.
I see Mrs. Hawthorne has collared Mrs. McFinney and the white slave trader.
They'll be getting an ear full of history.
The name Bohunkus is a very interesting survival, Mr. Smith. Bohunk was the vernacular name given to immigrants from Bohemia, you know.
No, ma'am. I did not know.
Oh, but you must know the early American ballads. Bohunkus was the name of one. Josephus was the other.
That's the first I heard of my name being used in a song.
Isn't it amazing what you learn when you're away from home? Travel broadens the mind, Mr. Smith.
Can you smell the whiff of it of her?
How close to her have you been?
No, the whiff of money. I'd say she could buy up the whole town from her back pocket if she felt like it, let alone the old cottage.
It isn't her money's be going on that. It's the foundations.
Isn't that the funny thing about the rich? It's always someone else's money they're spending.
Well, see if she does. Dad's great notions of Egypt investing in his projects have a way of coming to nothing.
I don't think they're enjoying their evening much now, that pair.
Probably dying to get up to bed after their travels.
I'd say she could do without wee stumpy boner at this hour.
And will you be making a donation to the McFinney Homestead before you go?
Is this for publication?
I can slap an embargo on it till you give me the go-ahead, so I can.
Say, I know where I saw you. Weren't you addressing the gathering at the railroad station?
I was. I'm an employee of the railway company that's taken away the right of the people to travel.
But how come you're a railroad employee and a journalist at the same time?
Writing's my vocation. Working for the railway's livelihood, so it is.
Then you have two natural urges, sir, at war within you. The creative and the mercenary.
Yeah, could put it that way, sweetie, could.
The porter versus the reporter. Yup.
Sure makes sense.
Mr. McCarthy, how are you? Did you enjoy your night?
Very well, Mr. Doherty. I'm just waiting on my sister. She's in the...
Are you talking to herself? You know?
Only for a minute. But I'll have more of an opportunity when we're showing her the cottage tomorrow. My sister and I are going out early to have the place looking well. We'll be bringing dusters and a mop.
Ah, good, good. But what do you make of him? Mr. Moneybags.
Well, he's probably the normal thing in West Virginia, but he looks a bit out of place here.
He struck me as looking like someone in the films that didn't know which post to hitch his bridle.
There you are, Fonzie. I was just looking for you to say good night.
Muriel. What did you think of them, Muriel?
Well, they're very polite.
I was going to say they're very close for an aunt and a nephew.
I remarked that too, Vera. And he never called her aunt, you may, only honey and sweetie pie.
As if she was something on the dessert trolley.
But that's the way they talk in the southern states, of course. You hear them at it when you go to the pictures.
You think, Mrs. Hawthorne?
Oh.
I'm going out the back way, Mr. Gallagher. My car's in the...
Muriel, we must be going. Good night, Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, we must be off.
Why don't you take a cup of tea in the kitchen
or something? No, thanks. It's much later than we thought.
Good night, Fawn.
Well, I've seen you at the oak.
Where the cotton and the corn and the potatoes grow.
Good on you, darling. Ah, well. You know, those two ladies were in a powerful hurry to get home.
The two Miss McConkeys, sir. They must have seen me coming. They'll get a worse fright when they get home, but...
Oh?
When they go to look for their dog, the one that half ate me, they'll find he's not there. I had a message from Mr. Frawley's butler up at Killiecrumper to say that we Napper Tandy's after straying there again. It's obvious he can't stand living with those two ladies. And you know what I'm going to tell you, Mr. Doherty? I don't blame you on dog one bit.
In Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonzie Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie by Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker. Vivian Hawthorne was Anya McCartney, Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley, Josie Doherty, Kathy White, Packy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner, Mrs. McFinney, Anya McCartney, and Bo Hunkers-Smith, B.J. Hogg. The theme music was played by Stephanie Hughes, and the series was directed by Owen O'Callaghan.